The first reading is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the right time finally came, God sent his own son. He came as the son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law to redeem those who were under the law. To redeem those who were under the law so that we might become God's sons and daughters. To show that you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Father, my Father. So then, you are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter. And since that is what you are, God will give you all that he has for his heirs. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, may I speak and may we all hear in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The title given for today is Glory to God in the Highest, which actually comes just before the reading for today. So a quick recap, although you all know the story very clearly. What had the shepherds just experienced? The angel of the Lord coming and standing beside them, and the glory of the Lord shining round them. Awe-inspiring, terrifying. How do you picture God's glory? Think for a minute. It's difficult, isn't it? It's a difficult thing to define. I get a sense of light, golden, shining, a powerful sense of God's presence. Maybe all of these things. Be interested to hear outside what you think about that and how you picture it. The glory belongs to God himself. It is a part of him. He gives us glimpses of it as he did to those shepherds that night. And when the angel message had been given, then the great heavenly host appeared. And they were saying what? Glory to God in the highest. They were taking God's glory and reflecting it back to him. This is what we do when we praise God, I think. We take God's glimpses of glory given to us and reflect it back to him in our worship. So when they'd been to Bethlehem, to the town, and found the place and seen the baby, they knew that what the angel had told them was happening was true. Then they came away telling everybody about it as they went through the town. But what else were they doing? They came away glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. Glorifying and praising God, giving back to God his glory, reflecting it back to him. They were shepherds, not known for their spirituality or even their learning, but they found words to glorify and praise God. Those of us of a certain age are perhaps not known for our extrovert worship, at least in public. And this Christmas, the prohibition on singing together certainly hasn't helped. If you think about it, the Christmas carols actually allow us to sing glory to God more often than any other time of the year, I think. We could really praise him vigorously, as we said the Gloria just now. Go over it. Think about it. It is wanting to glorify God. Brought up as I was with the prayer book worship, when my faith blossomed, or God took me further in my faith around 17, 18, I found myself wanting to praise God in the privacy of my own bedroom. And I found I didn't really know, because I'd only ever used prayer book prayers, I didn't know what to say. And yet I knew the Gloria, I knew other prayers, so I knelt down by my bed and I said the Gloria in a very new way, as a prayer. And I found that really helpful, and I, you know, it is still a great expression of thanks and praise to God, reflecting back his glory to him in worship. So let's remember that as we do come to praise God in our singing, particularly when we can, or outside when we can anyway. When we are wanting to praise God, to lift our hearts in praise to him, we are seeking to glorify him, reflect back his glory to him in worship. One morning last week, I heard one of the Thought for the Day bits on the Today programme. The speaker, who alas I cannot remember who it was, can you remember? No. said this. He gave a quote. He said, "The glory of God is a living man, and the life of the man consists in beholding God. The glory of God is a living man, and the life of man consists in beholding God." Now, I'm very well aware I'm on dangerous ground here because I'm not an expert, but it got my attention. And the quote came from Irenaeus, who was writing when he was Bishop of Lyon, or in France, what is now France, around 185 AD. He was one of the early church fathers. It is in his major work, a treatise against heretics, mainly the Gnostics at the time. In one little bit of research on this, I got excited to find that Irenaeus, had been taught by Bishop Polycarp, who had been taught by John the Apostle. It's that near. Little tingle down the spine. Irenaeus saw Jesus as the living man, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God. The fullness of God dwells in him, so the fullness of God's glory dwells in him. And he was describing the glory of God. Not, it's often misquoted, I gather. It's fully alive, which has led to all sorts of different interpretations, the fully living man or the fully live man. The original, well, the Latin from the original does not say that. It just says the glory of God is a living man, and the life of man consists in beholding God. So Jesus is the glory of God and God with us as a human being. And our job is to behold God and glorify him in our worship. So that's our response that we need as humankind, is to discern God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ and to worship. The shepherds came face to face not only with the angels, but also with the living baby who was the glory of God, come to share human life. And they went away glorifying and praising God. In our epistle, Paul is telling the Galatians something that the shepherds could not have known at that time. That baby would go on to reveal God's glory in teaching, healing, dying and rising in order to redeem us. We owe our redemption to him, and more than that, as it says in the Galatians passage, I can find it. Put the wrong marker in, sorry. God sent his Son, and the fullness of time had come. God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we may receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are not no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir. Jesus Christ, God, full of the glory of God, through his death and resurrection, redeemed mankind and gave us adoption, or brought us into the family of God, if we accept that redemption. We can call God in the most intimate way our Father, and we can approach him because he loves us. He loves each one of us. We have access to the glory of God. We have access to God himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we face whatever future will hold for us in the coming months, please hold secure to this knowledge. Nothing can separate us from that love that God has for us. We are his children, redeemed into his family. We can access the God who is glory, and we can reflect back that glory to him in worship and praise. That first Christmas changed everything. No wonder we can say, glory to God in the highest. Amen.